All right, folks, sit back, relax, get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. The Geocaching Podcast is going to come at you right about, I'd say about now. You want it? Let's try that again. You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast. Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 417, sorry, 418, recorded live on September 16th, 2015. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat With.
Scott Burks.
Steven Zad Infinitum.
And Task 427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE, and also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter, and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. Hey, guys, how's it going? It is so good to be back. Last week, I was out on assignment, double quotes. Actually, I was sitting in the background, you know, producing and then post-production afterwards. But hey, you know, that's how it goes.
Coding and cough syrup assignment.
Oh, man. Now you get those. It's just that type of weather now, because we've actually had it where we were gone from the 90s to the 70s. And, well, actually lower 80s now. And so this last weekend I was able to actually go out and do some geocaching and find some interesting stuff. Had a good time with that with wife Amy. And it's been like 4 months since the weather has been even tolerable for us to even try to go out geocaching. But when the weather changes like this, health issues come up with the sinuses and all the rest of that, and migraines and yada yada. So no fun in North Kakalaki when that happens. But Scott, how about yourself?
Good. Had a good week. It was cool. It was definitely fall in Chicago, but then now it's the past 2 days it's been back into the 80s, but that's it. And now we're the rest of the week is all 60s and 70s again. So it's definitely been fall. Had a good weekend. Went out hit this this forest preserve, this series that was real. I mean, monster bushwhack. My legs are just, I'm looking at them right now, and just scratches, just trashed.
Ooh.
And I was wearing pants, but it was like that really, like really, that's like really thick bushwhack. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. We get you. I'm going to bring this just because something came in mind when you said it.
It was really, really this dense bushwhacking, and it was just destroying you. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Didn't finish it, so maybe finish it next weekend. I can't do it. I got the kids this weekend, so maybe go finish it next weekend.
Nope.
But it was good. It was good to get out in the woods. You know, it's been a while. So,
absolutely.
That's what I did.
Good stuff. At least before all the fall leaves fall off and then you can't find anything.
They got about another month before those start dropping. But you know what's in season right now? Those freaking little... Those little things that snag your clothes, what are they called? The burrs.
Oh, yeah.
The burrs are in season. Oh, man, those little mothers are in season right now.
You know what works with that?
Yeah.
I'll give you the ultimate thing for getting burrs out of your pants and out of your socks. Plastic fork.
Really?
Yes, you take the fork and you just put it along and pops them right out and, you know, get your fingers. Because there's some in different certain states I've had where they're like little bungee, you know, punchy sticks wrapped around a ball. And you just even try touching them, and they're like needles. Just use a plastic fork and...
Here in Chicago, we've got the really, 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 really tiny ones, and they're on like a long stem.
Yep.
Lined on it, so like you pull the stem off, and it's like ding, ding, ding.
The
pants aren't bad, because I'm wearing Columbia, you know, those like UV ones where they slide right off them. But I'm wearing a shirt, you know, you're wearing a T-shirt, and I was even wearing like a nice, like a UV shirt, you know,
right.
One of those like, you know, not, like, you know, keep cool sweating ones. Mm-hmm. It even stuck to that. And just
now, do they stick to your skin?
No, they don't stick to your skin. No.
Here, so I've never had them stick to my skin in Texas. Here, went out last weekend, and I had them sticking to my skin. Now, until I stick my finger on them, it didn't bother me. It's more like it's like gets in the hair, grabs the hair, and then barely sticks to the skin. So, you know, as long as I kind of brush them off softly, it's okay. But then when I stick my finger on there hard, it's like get that one jammed in there. But yeah, I definitely learned a bit about the
flora and fauna
of flora and fauna here in California. So the stickers are just about as bad, and the burrs are worst.
Oh wow.
It's just now with my shirt. Unfortunately, I got to wait a month to let it, because when it dries out, it turns brown from green to brown, and then it's like you can pull them right off.
Right.
You know? But right now, it's like they lock on and it's like
Velcro through the skin. Ow. Hey, Mr. Corey, how about yourself? What did you get stuck with lately?
I haven't been gotten stuck with anything. I try to stay away from that sticky stuff because it's no fun. I usually get stuck with the frozen things. You know, I've just been taking care of working on my dates placed, trying to get that little grid all filled up, and been using Project GC. And, you know, I had mentioned that they were working on a I thought this was the last day for their little added membership bonus.
Uh-huh.
But apparently it was yesterday because it's not on here anymore. So.
Oh, my. Oh, okay, because they had a thing going on where you could get some deals and some extra time as a member for it, is from what I understood.
Yep. And they were giving away some extra months for membership, but unfortunately it's not on here tonight. I thought tonight was the last night, so darn, missed it. I was going to talk about that, but
all right.
Well, no, but just been using Project GC, their free version. Since I'm not a member, I'm not unfortunately not yet. I like what they have though, so just been cashing around here while I can before the snow falls.
How's the fire going?
Down to 35 fires and 344,000 acres.
Jeez, wow. Oh, Pete.
Wow.
Holy cow. Is there anything left?
Well, Montana's a big state.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Wow. Well, I'm glad things are settling down finally. Mr. Taz, how about yourself?
Had a great time geocaching this weekend. I went out to do a Where I Go. That was my main focus. And after 3 hours and 4.7 miles of hiking around, went off and grabbed a couple other caches along the path. I logged my longest DNF.
Really?
I got to the final and made it to the final location. I could see in the pictures that, yeah, this is the final. It has a pops up a picture at the end to indicate, yeah, you're at the right spot. Plus, you know, you're in the zone. Mm-hmm. And I spent about 45 minutes looking for the cache, and I could not find it, but I marked a waypoint. So I'll go back and look some more another day. But, you know, it's kind of like 3 hours and 4.7 miles. It's like, and you get a DNF. That's kind of a long DNF. Yeah, that's kind of
that brutal. Is.
I can't believe you walked away. I'm more shocked by that. I don't think I
can. Well, it's
4 hours doing it.
It's about maybe 0.2 mile from downtown Folsom, the final. So I don't have a problem with going back there. It's like, you know, 10 minutes away here. So I don't have a problem going back weekend after next and taking another search at it. But it was like my time was running out on the. You can take this space for 3 hours. So I was like, yeah, I got to leave.
Right.
I'm sorry. My fun factor does not last that long.
it was interesting because it was a nice tour. So a nice tour of the area.
I'll keep going for four. I mean, that's a long time to look for something and to be like, nah, you know what, nah.
Well, I made up for it the next day. So I climbed a tree, got a 1.5, 4.5 cache that filled out the last slot in my DT matrix. So busy challenge complete.
Oh, nice job.
Nice. Way to go.
Yeah, I think I'm like 8 or 9 away from triple fizzy.
Oh, my God.
I'm 12 away from a double fizzy, which I signed a double fizzy challenge log. The cache right before the one that finished out my first DT Fizzy round. So,
well, I tip my hat to you, and it also sounds like a fantastic bar drink, a triple fizzy. I'm just saying. Man, good stuff. But no, congratulations. That is awesome. All right, guys, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on GeoGearheads is episode 194, geocaching.com guidelines number 2. Rock Chalk returns to talk more about the geocaching.com guidelines with Daryl and Bad Cop. So that sounds like a lot of fun. That'll be tomorrow. And also tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast is episode 129. We're going to be talking about geocaching printables. One of the most popular things that goes to my blog is where do I go to get geocaching logs? Where do I get to print off different types of geocaching journals, different things that deal with geocaching in general? We're going to give you a whole guideline on different places that you can go to get all that fine stuff that you can print off for yourself and enjoy that. So that'll be tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast. And
did you hear Daryl's show last week?
No, which one was his?
That was the one with Walt. It was actually pretty funny.
Oh, I want to get that. I've got it on my in my podcast stream. I can't wait.
It's good to hear Wally.
Did he do well?
He did do good. Yeah. It's just I know his humor and like sorry, I'm totally tangenting, guys.
No, go for it.
But like I know Walt really, really well. Obviously, we co-host. For me, he doesn't know we co-host a podcast for 4 years together.
Well, yeah.
And so I could tell, I could literally see his wheels turning as people were talking and what he was going to spit out and when he was going to interrupt. Because me and Walt are so used to interrupting each other.
Yes.
You know? And so I saw him, he just kept interrupting Chris and it made me laugh every single time he did it. Because Chris would be talking and doing what you're doing right now. And
right.
He'd be like, oh, hey, Chris. And just start on a
tangent. And just go.
That's what he would do. Yeah, and just go.
I was curious to see if he didn't have you to play off of how to do that.
He's so much funnier than me. I mean, I was laughing out loud. It may be because I know and love him so much that it made me. But, like, I was literally laughing out loud at him. Like, and I rarely do I, like, ha ha.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like actually chuckle
out
loud.
He's such a talented guy anyways. And to either play over Daryl, who is the stick man.
Oh,
in the world.
So easy.
And Chris has got a great sense of humor, so he had the ammunition to go for it. So that should be
interesting. Chris has got a very dry humor.
Yes.
Almost British humor.
Yes.
Very dry, but very funny. I think Chris is funny.
Yep.
And then Daryl's just so easy to pick on. It's ridiculous. And Daryl like screams it. It's so Daryl like hands you the gun.
Please shoot me now. Several times, right here.
And God bless him. I love Daryl as well.
Yep,
me too. I always love talking to Daryl. I always love being on the podcast with Daryl.
So. Yeah. So definitely check out last week's episode of GeoGearheads with Walt Grogan
Immortal Walt Grogan. Absolutely.
That'll be awesome. Good stuff. And finally, if you would please consider becoming a patron for our show, a contributing member to help pay for the bills that pile up, especially towards the end of the year, so that we can keep this fantastic podcast a-coming. And if you get any information, any giggles, any laughs, I don't think that's just right. Any of that fun stuff, let us know and throw a couple bucks our way. We would greatly appreciate it so that we can keep this going. And it's because of folks like you and the people that are already patrons that help out with this. We say thank you to all. And good stuff. All right, good stuff. I do have the question of the day. It's in raw form. I do not have the intro with it, so it's going to jump right into the question of the day. Let's see what we've got.
We recently asked, do you run any weekly pocket queries? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that 60% of cachers do run weekly pocket queries. So here's what we heard. Rob on Facebook shared, yep, I have them for the states I visit regularly that pulls the recently published caches. That way my GSAC gets recent logs on new caches as well as the new caches. Well, Matthew shared, yep, my finds and my hides. Well, Andy on Google Plus shared, yes, unfound near home and unfound near work. Then I use GC Droid to download and update my phone's offline database. Well, Kevin shared, nope, we do use pocket queries to get data to transfer over to my little Garmin, but that's only when we create a list for a dedicated geo day. And Karen also doesn't do weekly pocket queries. She shared, no, usually once a month to keep info up to date in the Nuvi for her car navigation. Well, as always, we really enjoy hearing about pocket queries, and you can too if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Google Plus, and Twitter for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And yeah, I have to apologize. I literally loaded up to my cart the geocaching question of the day for this week. And the reason why I didn't do it earlier is because I've been watching Doctor Who.
Nice. Well, that's a totally
that's a great and excuse.
I
that's
came excuse. Through. I can't help you know, it.
I will let you go for that. You can be your excuse.
I literally was watching one of my episodes with my wife, and we're going, and I look at the clock, and I'm like, oh, geez, I got a show to do. And so, yes, that's why we did not have the intro tonight.
You're not a watcher, though. So you picked it up, right? You're not a watcher.
No. Well, I watch it. I mean, it's, you know, I've got the DVR loaded up now with all the shows because they've been playing them all for the past week.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can't wait for.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They've been told. Yeah, it's starting next week, right?
Yeah, Sunday. Yes.
Sunday. Nice.
Yes, it'll be on.
Doctor Who comes back on Sunday.
I'm just saying. So yeah, I got wrapped up in one of them, and it was just like, oh my god, I forgot. So that's why we didn't have the intro.
I totally forgot it was coming back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've got soon. They got little marathons all week. Okay, we're going to talk about that.
My DVR has been like has been doing.
Doctor Who nerdiness.
Yes, wait, whatever
like,
it takes.
We're like OB. Let's talk about Doctor Who.
Only we speak Sorry. Better. I'm that just was, saying. Anywho,
I don't know if that was my Sam or if that was my Doctor
Who. I'm going to leave that right there. Yes. So anyways, we've got
banana sauce.
Episode 418, geocaching in the media. All right. I promise. I Boy Scout swear I will not turn this into a complete rant show about geocaching in the media because this is such a sensitive subject, but I think it's deemed worthy. It's come up enough recently in the media to be able to talk about geocaching and maybe put a positive spin on things to see if geocachers can help get us past this. But we have a major obstacle with this. A couple of things, and I won't use the exact phrasing that I did before the show, with how America has, in my humble opinion, send all hate mail to headhardhat@geocachingpodcast.com.
Or me, I love hate mail.
Yes. Scott's used to it, but that's all right. It's all four-letter words. It's all it's.
I'll read it on air.
I've got a delete key.
There you go. But the idea to me is that as a whole, this country has become afraid of its own shadow. It has become paranoid, and it is using every little knee-jerk reaction to over-glamoritize things that should just not be. All
just
right, so that's
in that Pandora box. Look at you.
Yes. So I'm just saying, the reasoning that I talk about this is with geocaching, we have heard many times the different bomb scares that come out and things that happen when somebody finds a unexpected container and the panic and the craziness and sometimes the overemphasis for safety that goes along this. Now, there's one article that I saw literally today. And Corey, we talked about this a little bit before the show. Why don't you go over that part of it? Basically, this happened in Irving, Texas with a sixth grader.
Oh, today?
Today.
Today.
Yeah. And Corey, I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
I wanted to pull it up because I wanted to talk about it. Because his name, you know, it's
an Arab sounding name.
Wow.
His name is Ahmed Muhammad. Okay.
What was it?
And he's Ahmed Muhammad. He's a 14-year-old in high school. So apparently you have 14-year-olds in high school. But he wanted to talk to his engineer. He wanted to talk about doing some more engineering stuff and building some stuff to his teacher. So he brought in he worked on the weekend and brought in a homemade digital clock.
Literally,
and
a
he
clock.
Showed his, yeah, a homemade digital clock. And he showed his engineer's teacher, and his engineer's teacher said, well, you probably don't want to show that to anybody else. And it went off in his English class. His English teacher said, what is that? They took it out. They says, well, it looks kind of like a bomb. No, it's a clock. And so, well, close to, you know, school being out, he was talked about it and let out of the school in handcuffs.
In handcuffs, a sixth grader in handcuffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's ninth grade. Okay. 14 years old.
14-year-old, that would be ninth grade.
Okay, ninth grade. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it just goes, and not only that, he was suspended for 3 days because he brought a project that he wanted to show to his teacher to school. Everybody sat there and said, we realize that there's no danger for this, but, I mean, an example needs to be made.
What
example? You know, it's not a. It wasn't even a fake bomb.
That's okay? Exactly right, and that's the paranoia. That's the paranoia I'm talking about. That's the stuff where knee-jerk reactions happen. This poor kid who wanted to do nothing more than show his own. Yeah, thank you, Scott.
Here's the problem. This was his clock. See,
I don't think that was it. That's Yosemite Sam. That's somebody different. But he went through and literally made a digital clock on how it works, the whole shot, and the school panics, and he goes out in handcuffs.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Talk about curbing any kind of interest in science, engineering, or anything else that doesn't come out of the normal curriculum. Heaven forbid you come out of your way to design something else and show what your talents are, only to have yourself taken out in handcuffs. So that's why I brought that episode up, is because that type of knee-jerk reality to me is pathetic. Now, I understand. Go ahead, Scott. I'll get into my safety rant in a minute.
Finish your thought.
My thought is with this. I understand the need for safety. I understand the need for keeping a safe environment. But when you're getting down to the point of practically burning books and, you know, putting things up in flames because it goes against the paranoia, that's where you got to draw the line somewhere and say these kids need to have the ability to grow and produce different things that interest them, as long as it is not physically harming anyone. Encourage, not discourage.
Of course, but and we talked about a little bit about this off air. It's kind of like Halloween, how it's all, you know, don't eat your candy and the razor and the apple.
Yes.
And that's never been proven. Look at our children. We won't let our children. When I was a kid, my mother didn't know where the hell I was all day. I mean, I was six.
Yeah.
And I would be gone all day. My mom didn't know where the hell I was. Now I know where my son is. Now he's 10 and I can track him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like. Why? Because we're afraid they're going to get, you know, stolen. You know that studies show that more kids got stolen in the 70s than they did now.
Yes.
But why now? Why? Because it's we have social media, and every time a child is gone, there's a freaking Amber Alert. Now, I'm not saying those are bad. Those are good. What I'm saying is that now it's in your face.
Yeah.
Back then, it wasn't in your face. Look what social media has done. It's taking something that happens in a small town in Idaho, and it brings it to the world, whereas before it was in Idaho and
yes.
We didn't know about it because it was in Idaho.
Yeah.
Now I know about it. All I have to do is go to Facebook or Twitter.
There
it is in my face.
When I grew up, you didn't come home till the streetlights turned on.
Absolutely. When the streetlights
turned on. And that's how it was. And we had range of miles. Yep. Mm-hmm. To go someplace. There was no cell phone to instantly call somebody.
No, I would leave the house at 7 in the morning and I would come home at night.
Yes.
I mean, and my mother had no clue where I was. I don't think she cared.
You know what? We were taught, don't come up to a car with a stranger. Don't go with a stranger. You would learn the guidelines and how to do things. You followed them and you knew what the consequences were if you didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, this kid, what's his name? I'm sorry, Corey, what's his name?
Ahmed Mohammed.
Ahmed Mohammed, meanwhile, he got a tweet from the freaking president.
Yes.
Right, saying, come to Washington, I want to meet you. This kid's going to do just fine in his life, don't worry.
Mark Zuckerberg even got him on Facebook and said, "Hey, if you ever over here, come and see me at Facebook at Facebook headquarters."
Yeah. Right, he's going to be just fine.
At least there are some people out there that have the kahunas to say, "Hey, you know what? You didn't do wrong. You're already showing that extra mileage of ability. Right. Come visit us when you're ready."
Sadly, whose fault is it? It's our fault. I think it's a Gen Xer's fault.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know how we became such pussies. Pardon my language.
Nope. But like, I don't want to even ring your bell on that one.
You know, how did that happen? Because we're this amazing generation, but we're a bunch of pussies.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like raising our kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's how did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, like a whole play date. What the hell's a play date? You know, what is that all about?
Well,
I'd go to my buddy's house. We never freaking like my son's like, can I have a play date with him? I'm like, I don't even know what that means. What the hell? Like,
you mean go play?
Yeah, you can go play. Go. It's going to be a date. There's a date about it.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into one of the other articles that I came in here. This one actually got myself boiling as well. It's an article. It's actually slightly been updated by the Lampeter Strasburg Schools receiving shooting threat. Suspicious package is a geocache. Now, this is where some of the stuff with newspapers and the news, they're going to go for sensationalism. And we had talked about this earlier before the show with this. They sell their wares by overemphasizing or stating the more negative, the more sensational, the more dramatic, that sells papers.
No. Well, that's also the point. So that's also the news. It's gotten to the point now where it doesn't have to be fact anymore.
No.
They'll just retract it later.
Yes.
You know, on page 26 on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be real anymore. That's what's crazy about the news and the media today.
This is relatively short, but basically what it goes into, and we'll have the links to all these in the show notes with this, is that it says a heavy police presence will remain in certain safety measures will continue in the wake of two recent threats made regarding with the Lampeter Strasburg School District. Without going through the whole thing, basically what happens is within a couple of days, a shooting threat was made to the school. We're going to shoot some kids, is basically what happens. It ended up being a canine student who wanted to see what kind of a uproar it would cause if they did this. Okay, this is what was updated after in the article.
What happened if I did this?
Now, the thing that got me, and this is the part where it really bugs me, is a couple days before that, a geocache was found somewhere. It wasn't even on the school grounds. It was somewhere nearby in the neighborhood. A geocache was found, and a suspicious package situation arises there. So what does this reporter do? It takes and says, just listen to the title. School receives shooting threat. Suspicious package is a geocache.
They're not even related,
but they're going to put it together because, oh my God, these two things had to be evil. That's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
My biggest one that will drive me crazy every time is a reporter, and I will use the term loosely, a reporter will do a story without doing any research. None.
Oh, yeah.
Zippo,
oh,
zero.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Mia Walt used to like just rip these people apart.
Yes.
Yeah. With yeah, yeah,
yeah, and I mean literally the entire. and the kicker with this is, the entire reference to the geocache was a sentence long. Mm-hmm. With the following thing saying, by the way, geocaching is a treasure hunting game where players hide in a container called a geocache, and other people try to find the container using GPS devices and coordinates. That's it.
That's it. Oh, yeah. like an afterthought.
Yes, literally. So nothing grinds my cookies more than stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, you're playing with my game, sport, and activity. If we were doing stupid stuff, and granted, there have been geocachers that have done stupid stuff.
It's plenty stupid, dude.
I will sit there and say these guys were knuckleheads and they deserve everything that happens to them. The other 99.9%.
I like the way that they put it, though. On the heels of the threat,
yes,
a resident found a suspicious item near the campus.
Mm-hmm.
turned out to be a Jew.
Well, me and Walt once did a story about a kid who attempted to kill his ex-girlfriend's boyfriend, and the only geocaching thing was he was a geocacher. He geocached once or twice, and so he knew where to hide the stuff. He was killing him with poison, and he knew where to hide the poison because he was a geocacher.
Ah.
Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Anything.
Story? I got have the t-shirt. Don't mess with a geocacher.
We know how the best place to hide the bodies. Yes.
That's a joke.
Like, way to just ruin the activity with like that story when it had absolutely nothing to do with anything.
Yes. And so, yeah, that's my greatest beef is when things are put way out of proportion. And it's an uphill battle. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to be able to beat it completely because if they've got the slightest chance of throwing something towards that, they're going to use it whether they understand it or not.
Well, yeah, and it's also it kind of surprises me that in this day, I mean, it is 2015. We live in a society of people being pretty much panicky all the time, and yet – how does this game survive? You know, because like we live in a world where people are will call the cops like that and think things are going on and are suspicious of everybody, and yet there's not more bomb threats than I think there should be. You'd think that there'd be.
I haven't seen an increase in them.
Yeah, it's a steady, but it's not like crazy, and to the point where like you know like people are banning the game. It's never been banned anywhere. You know what I mean? Anything like that.
But yeah,
so it's surprising. To me, it's
updated in the rules and say, hey, if you're going to put one out, you know, register it. Register it locally.
But it is not banned anywhere.
Like, right.
This is officially banned from this county or, you know, because of too many bomb scares or
but
anything like that.
Also, how do you also, so it doesn't over escalate right away with, and I'll use the classic from the past year, the banana in a pine tree.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, folks. One, why is, you know, somebody from, I'm going to get the hate mail. I'm just going to say somebody from a far off land that wants to bomb a pine tree someplace in the middle of the woods.
Right, right.
How many reports have you had? It's like the Halloween candy, okay? How many times have you actually heard of a terrorist group blowing up a greenway or a woods area or
because you know Andy when I want to blow things up I go to old cemeteries.
Yes, because that's exactly where you're gonna will destroy history.
Bang for my buck, I want to go to an old cemetery.
Oh my gosh,
that's where I'm going
because there's such a multitude of people. Yeah, so multitude of people.
When I'm gonna blow something up, I'm gonna go next to a green box, next to you know electrical box, where close to where somebody may or may not be playing basketball at that
ever.
Time, you know,
because when I blow something up, I want to go to the end of a pier by a lake. These are all bomb scares that I've talked about on a previous show that I've been.
People who make bombs always wrap it in camouflage duct tape so you can't see. Always.
Yes. Never fails.
And write geocache on the side of the container.
Yes.
You'd think the bomb squads would catch on. And it always amazed, you know, me and Walt over all the bomb scares that we did that they never caught on. Rarely did somebody catch, like, somebody knew it was a geocache or somebody asked. They always just blew the sucker up, man. Boom, blew it up.
I think they want to get practice.
I was going to say.
Because it's got to be. I mean, you don't get to blow shit up very often. And a lot of the bomb squad people, they're in it because they want to blow shit up.
Yes, that's it.
Yes, yeah.
And it's funny because I had Cully on last week on GeoSnippets Reboot, and he's from New York. And he says, police don't even, they just walk up to it and go, you know what, that's a geocache. They don't even bother calling the bomb squad. New York. Come on, guys.
Picks it up and smells it.
Yeah, it's like, shake, shake, shake. You know what? I think this is a geocache. And yet you get the other one where the police that stalked out a gnome for 2 hours. Wait, you imagine if some poor family walked up going geocaching with these guys sitting there. I could just see them all looking like this, looking for the gnome. You know? Yeah, like, I mean, come on.
Can you hurry? I want to log that. After you get done finding out whether it's a bomb or not, I got to log that.
Oh, man. I got to fill out my terrain difficulty grid. Would you hurry it up?
You just blew up my fizzy, man.
There's not another one for 60 miles, dude. Come on.
Yeah. Now, the other article that I had here is the one that Scott and I was in. And same kind of thing. You know, it's in See Something, Say Something era, which is basically the nice way of putting...
Paranoid world that we live in.
Yes, geocachers' hidden treasures set off alarms. Now, when we were... And I'll say this, and I have nothing against the author. When I talked with Peter, we had a long conversation. I know Scott did, too. But I could tell immediately when we were talking about the interview, his first response is, well, could you tell me about all these geocaches that look like bombs? And you could tell the sensationalism was not, hey, could you tell me about this fantastic activity that you're involved in where families go out and have fun and everybody has an adventure and has a good time with this? I want to find out about all the people that have to run and flee in terror because idiots put out stuff that look like bombs and terrorize neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And it's that kind of sensationalism that we fight to go through. And actually, I think Scott and I did a good job with that. We kind of contained, I think, quite well, where he got his little say in about things, and then the rest of it was talking about geocaching.
Yeah, I mean, again, like I think we've talked about it before, where mine was pretty much just Leo's. He didn't really ask me much about. He asked me about the basics of geocaching. But he wanted to know about Leo's.
Yeah.
And, you know, how I responded and what my advice was, and, you know. And that was pretty much really what we talked about, the gist of it. But his, I mean, I didn't mind his. I thought he gave a pretty good article. I didn't think he shed it in a bad way.
No.
Geocaching. I think he opened it up and he gave both sides of it. He showed, you know, you are going to get Leos if you cache at night.
Yes.
And, you know, it is something that it's going to happen. You know, it is part of it. Because it is. If you cache at night, that's part of it. Some of you cache during the day as well. But if you cache at night, you're going to hit a Leo eventually.
Absolutely.
It's going to happen. You know,
and,
so.
And Andy will use it to his advantage.
Absolutely. I'll help him go out and find it for me, which is what he mentioned in the article. It was awesome.
Are you showing your light over here?
Yeah, you guys got those really...
I've had Caps Lit help me look. And this, did you ever see a cop light, man? Those things are
amazing. Oh, yeah. They light up Cleveland.
Amazing. Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, where do you get that? He's like, I got it online. It was like, then I went where he told me to go, and it was like
$200. Oh,
like, yeah. Flashlight.
Yeah.
I was like, $200 on a flashlight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. But, yeah, you know, that's just how it goes sometimes with these articles.
Yeah. It's... I mean... Sadly, I've read a crap ton of articles about it, and the worst part about it is, like you said, is that people just don't do their homework.
Yep.
They don't use common sense.
I mean, they're you know, bananas in a tree. It looks like a banana. It looks like a peanut butter jar. It doesn't look. You know, about the closest things is you can make one that looks like a pipe bomb, and I've seen one or two of them that were kind of shaped like it, but you know, they got camel tape around it, and I can kind of see where, someone might be concerned if they don't know about geocaching and they can't look it up. But those aren't the things I'm seeing blowing up in the media. You know,
it's lock and lock boxes.
No, it's lock and locks, and it's pill bottles.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, come on, people. Who the hell's going to make a bomb out of a pill bottle?
Well, you got people in the media that are saying, you know, if it's bigger than a 9-volt battery, that you should really think about calling the cops.
Yeah, right. And that's
I'm saying, you know, that's not necessary.
Mm-mm.
Because you think about it, I mean, we don't, as responsible geocachers, we don't place geocaches in certain spots because of the scares. I mean, when you're worried about a microwave in the woods, it's probably nothing lethal.
Or that birdhouse, heaven forbid.
You know, and it's just the silly irony of the way that things are going. It reminds me of a great joke when, you know, the old grandma gets pulled over, and with her license and registration, she hands the officer her carry permit. And he says, well, do you have any weapons in the car? She says, yeah. I have, you know, my 9mm in the center, and I've got my .45 in the glove box, and I got my .38 special in my purse. And he looks at her and says, what are you afraid of? She says, not a thing.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So it's interesting. We live in the age of electronic everything, and yet we have become such panic-stricken things over stuff that...
And yet, on the other side of it, I've been completely ignored. I've been, like, searching something, touching, and in a crowd of people, and they've completely ignored me.
If you geocache with confidence...
Yeah, and it's the old saying, and I've said it many times to people, is act like you're there. Act like you're supposed to be there.
Yep.
And you know, I used to go to Comic-Con all the time with buddies, and they'd be amazed because I always got backstage. Yeah. Always. And I met a ton of people, and I always got backstage. And like, how do you do that? I'm like, you know what? I walk like I'm supposed to be there. I walk with a purpose, and I walk like I'm not afraid, and they'll let you right by.
Yeah.
They don't even look at you. Don't even give you a second look.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's when you look like you're looking to see if somebody can see you,
right.
that's when you look suspicious.
You're supposed to be there, and they don't even stop you. And that's a lot of things like with geocaching. It's just like, just do it. You know, when someone's like, I don't want to go, there's people there. I'm like, just do it. Trust me. They're not going to pay attention to you.
Yep.
And usually they don't. Literally a handful of times have I been asked what I'm doing by a muggle. It rarely happens. Rarely.
And then if you do, be prepared. Have a pamphlet.
I am, of course, yeah.
Have a pamphlet, have a thing, have a muggle card that you can give to them and say, hey, here's everything that talks about what we're doing as geocachers. Got any questions? Let me know. And we can go from there.
But like most people just...
Don't even look.
Don't even pay attention.
And the last article that we had in here is something out of the Banner, and it says Hidden Gems Geocaching Adventures at Lover's Key. Now, Chaz, you like this a lot.
Oh, yeah, because it basically, you know, the individual who wrote the article hadn't gone geocaching before, kind of heard about it, and you know, it sounded interesting to him, so you know, he asked his editor if he can go out and do a geocache, and so he goes through the whole story about starting off a few miles away, and then got down to 0.13 miles or whatever, and just started. It's like, well, there's water here, what do I do? Goes out to the map mode, and you know, he's basically learning how to use one of the free apps, and figures out I need to take this trail around here, and then he's getting close, and it's like then he's, you know, around 400 feet away, and then it's like, well, now it's getting 500 feet, and so, well, hang on, he busts through some woods and finally pops out at a gazebo. Like, none of us have ever done anything like that. But you know, it's a cop. You know, basically going through a whole story that would actually make a great log for the geocache. I encourage everyone to read this. I'm not going to go through all the details, but after about a half hour looking for the cache, and then at ground zero, and then reading the hint, and then going and pulling up pictures and looking at the pictures, he finally figured out where it was. So it probably wasn't the easiest of caches to go do for your first one. But then as he gets done, he meets an older couple coming in and looking for the geocache. And so I had a good time talking to them. But, you know, overall, it sounds like he had a great time geocaching and put a really classy story together. Probably the best story I've seen written up about geocaching, because it gives you a pretty well-rounded idea of what types of things are involved in geocaching.
Yeah, they're not all bad negative articles, and I think that's the main point I wanted to get through with this as well. It's not a rant against the bad. There's good in there as well, but I sure would like to see a lot more of the good ones than the others.
Well, there was, today geocaching is, as I was working on this show tonight, I got an email from Groundspeak about, the famous people that geocache.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's a good article. I'm like, no, wait, it's an article from Groundspeak. I don't think I'm going to use it in the
But it is true. There are quite a few celebrities out there, including you. We're going to try to get them on a show one of these days and see if we can go that way. But
what's my work here? Yeah.
But I'm saying
if you're on California now, give him a call.
That's it.
Does he use his Wolverine claws?
No, see, that's it.
If you see him at an event, Taz, make sure you welcome him and invite him on our
show. Yeah, no doubt.
Good stuff. But is there any suggestions while we before we wrap all this fun stuff up that it can comes to the top of your head as far as what can geocachers do to kind of minimize some of this stuff so that people are less likely to panic if they find your geocache that you're trying to hide? To me,
when you're making a geocache, make sure it's clearly marked. I mean, there's great stencils that can be bought. Just make sure it says geocache, you know, on the outside. I mean, no matter what, make sure it says it's a geocache.
Yes.
Yeah, see, mine don't say geocache. I don't do that. I will freely admit that I do not do that. But my advice is don't run.
That's oh, my God, advice. Yes. Don't speed away in your car.
Don't run. If someone says, hey, don't run.
Yep.
Just stop. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not doing anything illegal. You're not going to jail.
That's right.
Explain what you're doing, or there will be a bomb scare.
Yes. These couple of people were just drove off in a car away, and we just...
That's my advice. Don't run.
Man. The other one that I do hear is a suggestion is have one of the sides, if you've got like a lock and lock box or what have you, camouflage... All of them except for one side. Have one side where you can actually see inside is a huge thing that from the police departments have said for something like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yep. And the other one is hide them better.
Yeah.
Don't just put it where somebody's maintenance is going to come by and go, because a lot of times that's what happens.
I'm speaking of a lamp skirt when I say don't run. I'm speaking of a lamp skirt or not. Yeah, you should be hiding them. I mean, I usually... You know, Jesse, I just hid one the other day, and Jesse was laughing at me because I made it such an F-U hide. Instead of, like, being in some pine tree, I literally put it, like, a little further down and just in the nasty stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not getting muggled. You know, that's the difference. It's not going to get muggled.
Well, that's the key, too. If you hide them better so that it is much more difficult for the average Joe to come by and see it, then they're not going to get muggled.
Right. Yeah. This one's not getting, you know, it was on a path, so I knew people use that path.
Oh, yeah.
Why make it so a muggle's going to find it when I could put it, you know, a little deeper into the woody area?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That extra 20 feet can make a big difference.
It wasn't even 20 feet. It was more like 8 feet.
Yeah.
It wasn't even 20 feet, but it made all the difference. You know, it got into the real crap. You know, the real crap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're geocaches. We could take it.
I expect a few DNFs on that cache. People thinking it's in the pine tree when it really won't be.
I love doing that. That's one of my favorite things. Find the most obvious spot to where it should be and put it next to it.
No, my buddy's got the best geocache. My buddy, he gets DNF'd all the time, and he never even bothers with it because he knows it's there. It's under a pine tree. It's a fake rock under a pine tree.
Oh, I love it.
People are like just looking all through the pine tree, looking through the pine tree, and he even says it's a bison. You know, it's a bison. Yeah, in the fake rock, it's a bison.
Yes.
So he even
says, oh, God. Yeah, there was a DNA tube stuck down in the ground with a pebble on it, and there's a bunch of other pebbles around this lamppost. And you know, you go up to it, and you're expecting a lamppost cache.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite ones to go, do not come back to, ignore list. All right, see you later.
All right. Good discussion, though, guys. This was good. A lot of fun. All right. We want to thank all you fine folks for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. We want to say thank you to Cache Advance for everything that they do. I think it's time to wrap up this puppy. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website. At www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please leave us through our social media sites. Contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.